Good morning and welcome to the Heart of Christ live in our church picnic. I'm talking to the folks out here on internet land. You know we are the Heart of Christ Church if you've tuned in to us here. And we proclaim that God is good.
All the time.
And we also proclaim that God has given us three commands: to love Him, love others, and go with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we do that, I pray, every day. And I know most of you here, in fact, I have to say I know all of you that are here, for you are the Heart of Christ Church. And as we are going, as we are living our lives, we are to proclaim the gospel. And if you have to, speak. And that's the part that I love, because if we are truly living the life of loving God, loving others, and going, our life shows it, and we do not need to do and be anything other than who we are in our existence. But today I want to talk to you about something. The sermon title today is Chosen and Called. And I want us to look at this through Christ's eyes. And I'm going to go to two places today. When I started this, I was staying in the book of Mark, but I want to give a little bit more explanation as to what's going on here. So I've got to go to the book of Matthew as well. And for those of you out there on internet land, we are in chapter 2 of the book of Mark, and we're going to be in verse 23, reading through 3 into verse 7, I believe it is. We are in chapter 3, beginning in 13. Oh my goodness. 3 and 13. That was last week. Y'all ought to have caught that. That JB said, that's what I thought. And he's right. I'm not looking at my stuff here. I don't have any notes today because if you notice, my pages are flipping while I'm standing here. I have absolutely no notes today, so I better know what I'm saying. Amen? So today I'm going to pick this thing up because it just keeps wanting to go on me. And I'm going to read to you from the third chapter, beginning in the 13th verse. And he went up on a mountain, and he summoned those whom he himself wanted, and they came. And he appointed 12 so that they would be with him, and that he could send them out to preach, and to have authority to cast out the demons. And he appointed the 12, Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, and James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James. To them he gave the name Boanerges, which means sons of thunder, and Andrew, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James, the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. And he came home, and the crowd gathered again so much an extent that they could not even eat a meal. Now, I want you to think about those very few words. I mean, it's not a lot there that I want you to think about today. But there's a lot there, because I want you to understand something. We are all called. The entire world is called, because God's creation shows that there is a God. So the entire world is called to understand that there is a God. And from that calling, it is then upon you to investigate who's calling you. How many of you really knew who God was prior to finding Christ? None of us did. So here's Jesus. He's walking around. He's a good teacher. Things are happening. And he's got all these people around him. And he pulls 12 out of that group. He pulls 12 out of that entire group. Now, how many people were following him at this point? We know it's literally thousands of people. So here we find called and chosen. But there's something else that's missing here that we don't get to see unless we dig a little deeper. And that's why I wanted to look at this today. Because every one of these, Jesus himself called. So would you say that he chose them? Yes. He chose them for knowledge from the Father that these were to be his apostles. He named them apostles. Did all of them choose him? No. So we need to understand when it comes to calling and being chosen, something else has to be going on here. And that's why I need you now to turn to the book of the book of Matthew, chapter 22. Matthew, chapter 22. And we are going to be in verses 1 through 14. Matthew 22, verses 1 through 14. Now, this is a bit later in Christ's life and in his ministry, but it's here that Jesus is literally explaining something to us that I need all of us to understand plays all the way back here to where he chose his apostles. Chapter 22, verses 1 through 14. We all know this parable. It is a parable. It's a teaching of Christ. And he was teaching about the parable of the marriage feast. Because only those who are called and chosen will be at the marriage feast. Can I get an amen from the church? So we need to understand, because when we think about those who Jesus called to be his apostles, were all of them, or are all of them, going to be at the marriage feast? No, Judas Iscariot will not be there. But there's somebody in that group that almost missed it. And if you all know your Bible teaching, you know I'm talking about Peter. Because Peter rejected Christ. But Peter later repented. In fact, Jesus made him repent 3 times before he reinstated him. Because you and I need to understand something from this parable that is so important when it comes to called and chosen. What is that? Let us read the word. Then Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. And he sent out his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding feast, and they were unwilling to come. Again, he sent out other slaves, saying, 'Tell those who have been invited, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatted livestock are all butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast.' But they paid no attention and went their way, one to his own farm, another his business. And the rest seized his slaves and mistreated them and killed them. But the king was enraged. But the king was enraged, and he sent his armies and destroyed those murderers and set their city on fire. And he said to his slaves, 'The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main highways, as many as you find there, invite to the wedding feast.' Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered together all they found, both evil and good, and the wedding hall was filled with dinner guests. But when the king came in to look over the dinner guests, he saw a man there who was not dressed in wedding clothes. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you come in here without wedding clothes?' And the man was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, 'Bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" We need to understand from Jesus calling his disciples, and we know that one of them fell, because this speaks to us, the church. How much of the church has fallen away from Jesus Christ? Yeah, and this is definitely a summer teaching for the church, because there is much of the church that has fallen away. We understand that. We know that. We see that in our physical world. But do we see it in the scriptures? Yes. It's right here. Because these people that the king was calling were his people. Did they listen to the king? No, they did not. So what did the king do? He literally went out and destroyed everything. What's coming in the end, brothers and sisters? There is coming a destruction upon our world that those who are wicked are going to go unto perdition. But are we of noble birth? The question of that is, no, we're not of noble birth. We are those who are in the highways and the byways of life. Because there is only one of noble birth, and he is Jesus Christ our Lord. Can I get an amen? Now, there's a lot of men, mankind that thinks they're of noble birth because they have money. And it has absolutely nothing to do with anything. There are also those that think they're of noble birth because they come from a bloodline. Well, there's only one bloodline that brings life, and that is Jesus Christ. So how does this whole thing tie back to Jesus, and what does it mean to be called? What does it mean to be chosen? All these people were called, and everyone was destroyed that wasn't coming in, and he went out into the highways and the byways, and he invited both good and evil people. How many of us were evil when God invited us? Amen. I've got hands in the air. You can't see that out there, but I'm telling you, we've got hands in the air because every one of us was evil. But yet God calls us to come to this banquet. But there's something we don't see here because of the idioms of culture. In this culture, if you were invited to the king's banquet, now this is the king's banquet, not a regular banquet, not a commoner's wedding banquet, the king's banquet. The king would send out with his servants clothing that you were to wear at the wedding so that everyone was dressed the part. God does the exact same thing to us. Each and every one of us needs to understand that we cannot come before God in our unrighteousness. Can I get an amen? So therefore, we must have other garments. We must have something other to wear, or we're going to be kicked out just as this one was. For there are going to be many who are going to say to him on that day, Lord, Lord, look what I did in your name. And he's going to say to me, away from me, you evildoer, for I never knew you. Why? Because they are not clothed in the righteousness of Christ. But as we come in the righteousness of Christ, we sang the song and we sang the words, I will serve you with all of my heart. I will praise you with all of my life. How many of us are living those words? How many of us are understanding that is us choosing him? God calls us in that we are chosen. However, we have to choose back. We have free will. Therefore, we must choose him. And in choosing him, we must put on the righteousness of Christ. That means we must die and he must live. Can I get an amen? When we begin to understand this, all of a sudden, the reality of what happened with the apostles begins to make sense. Because when we look at being called and chosen, every one of those apostles was called by God, God himself. So did he make a mistake? No, absolutely not. I want you to remember, God calls many people into his life. And when I say that, I'm talking about doing his bidding. Okay, he called Cyrus into his bidding. And Cyrus did all the things that God needed him to do so they could go back and rebuild the temple. He called Nebuchadnezzar in to his service. Were any of these men, these two men that I just spoke of, were they saved? No, absolutely not. Because they never chose to serve the living God. They chose to acknowledge what was going on. And if you read the stories, you can understand their precepts and what they were thinking. But they never gave themselves to Christ. They never chose him. So when it comes to being called and chosen, we need to understand, that's why the church is in such disarray today. Because everybody's called. How many people will tell you, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. But remember what we said, love God, love others, and go. How many of those folks in their going, can you tell the difference between them and the world? And I need to ask you a question. And I have to look in the mirror every time I ask this question. Can the world tell the difference between you and itself? And when I'm saying that, I'm talking about me. But you need to be talking about you. Have you chosen Christ? Have you chosen to walk with Him, to love Him, to give yourself to Him, to be manifest by God with the garments of righteousness, which are the attributes of Christ in each and every one of our lives? Because as we call upon the name of the Lord, so too shall we be saved. But now we need to be dressed in those garments of righteousness. We need to put away our filthy rags and put on the righteousness of Christ, to become as He is. There's food for thought, isn't it? That's food that will keep you going for a long, long time. Because that means we have to put into judgment everything we do. How many of you think about everything you do in respect to Jesus Christ? I think it's funny, because my mom and dad used to tell me when we were growing up, we were supposed to do such and such. Now, I was a smart young man, okay, and I always made sure I was outside of hand reach when I would say such things. But I would look at my mom, and then I wanted to make sure I had on running shoes, and say, "Mom, you don't do what you're telling me to do." And she would look at me and say, "I'm your mother, do as you're told." And it was so, the dichotomy was so unreal to me. How do you live such a way? And I think about just how we live our lives. We will say one thing and do another. Those things have to stop, because we are literally not walking in the righteousness of Christ. We are not choosing Him all the time. And when I think about being chosen, I don't want to get to that banquet feast and find out that I have on the wrong clothes. I want to be dressed in the fullness of Jesus Christ. Now, does that mean we're going to be perfect, brothers and sisters? You all know I say this with all my being. No, we're not going to be perfect. We are broken people. But we need to be as perfect as we can be in Christ Jesus, because He gives us the strength to accomplish that very task. He has poured out the Holy Spirit upon us, and all of this through the blood of His salvation shed for each and every one of us on the cross of Calvary. Today, I want us all to understand. I want everybody out there to understand. You cannot do this in and of yourself. None of us can. All of us are called, but many are not going to make it because they have not chosen to follow Christ. I want you to think about that. Did the 12 follow Christ? 11 of them did. One of them walked after Him. Was close enough to be there, but yet missed the mark. And again, as I said, what about Peter? You do realize Jesus rebuked him twice. The first time He rebuked him, He said, "Get thee behind me, Satan," because He was talking about him having to die. And Peter said, "No, Lord, you know, that'll never happen, da-da-da-da-da-da." And Jesus said, "Whoa, you aren't living according to the will that I'm giving to you. So therefore, get behind me, Satan." We need to understand some of the things God's going to get us to walk into may not be quite what we want to get into. Can I get an amen from the church? But when we walk into them, we are changed and Christ is exemplified in our lives. I know there's a lot of folks out here that don't want to do the things that they need to do. How many of you are eating foods that you shouldn't be eating because of your health? And how many of us should be exercising? And we're not, because I'm getting a little older. How many of us should be drinking water? Well, I don't want to do that because then I got to pee. Well, suck it up, cupcake. That's life. We need to choose and choose well every time we choose. Otherwise, our choosing is going to separate us from those righteousness of Christ. And I don't want to see that for anybody. I want us to truly walk in the goodness of the Lord. And you know, this is one of the things that I hate, because a lot of these churches that that claim the name of Jesus Christ will tell you, oh, well, if you do this, if you follow Jesus, oh, you're going to get married and you're going to have a big house and you'll have a wonderful job and everything's going to come up roses. Can I ask a question from the congregation, and that includes you? Is everything coming up roses? Well, actually, yes. We got to remember, roses only make up 15% of the bush. The rest of it's thorns. We need to understand that there is a prosperity gospel, and that prosperity is on the other side, when we will be with him forever, though we don't deserve to be there. These people that were called to this banquet did not deserve to be there. And yet the king said, get them in here. Why? Because my son's worth it. And that's what he's saying to every one of you, because when we choose him, who do we become? We become his children. And he says, you're worth it. You're worth it. Do you believe it? Then receive it and change. We cannot continue in the way that we have been going. Now, many of us are on that process. How many of you are in that process right now? Yeah, every hand should be in the air, and that's the truth. I'm still in process. I haven't arrived. I won't arrive until the day I close my eyes and open them in glory. Of course, I'm looking forward to the trip up because I want to see it all. I want to see the Lord descend into the clouds and call us. You know, it won't happen today because there aren't any clouds. But I cannot wait for that great and fateful day, because in that day, he's going to step out on the clouds and he's going to say, bring them hither. And the angels are going to go out and going to suck us up. We are going to be translated in the air with him, and we're going to get to see all that. How awesome do you think that's going to be on that day, when all of a sudden your feet ain't on the ground, but you are literally on the most solid ground you could ever be on, because we will be on the rock of Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? But we have to choose him. Being called and being chosen plays a part in our lives. That's why we have free will. So today I ask you, and this is where I'm ending, will you accept the call? And in accepting the call, will you choose to live as Christ in this world? And if you do, and I'm talking to you folks out there as well as my congregation, then I want you to pray this prayer with me. Father God, I am a sinner. Forgive me for the wrongs that I have done against you and against others. Change me. Make me whole in the image of Christ. Show me your will, that I may walk with you dressed in the garments of his righteousness for his name's sake. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry, where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.